And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and barrenless. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, The Lord of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman, and she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with him. The woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man that appeared unto me and came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that takest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her prevail. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine. Neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her fulfill. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Go thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. This thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? When my sayings come to pass, he may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name? Seeing it is taken. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wonders for him, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, for the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. For the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. For his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to come, she would not have received the burnt offering and the meat offering at her hand. Neither would he have shown us all these things, so would it at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew in the Lord with him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times, and the camp was Dan between Zoar and Eshtol. One verse in Hebrews 11, please. One verse in Hebrews 11. We'll read verse 32. The writer says, and what shall I now say? For the thing would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and of Jesse, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophet. For the Lord, this is not yet. I was interested in that verse in Hebrews chapter 11, which draws our attention to four of the 30 mentioned in that passage. What was most of interest was the fact that the judges are not mentioned in chronological order. They're not mentioned in the order in which they appear in the book. And it gives me to understand just the divine priority, at least that is how I see it. For in fact, Barak preceded Gideon, and Jesse preceded Samson. And in the Hebrews 11 account, where I judge the Spirit of God is taking priority, he puts them in the other order. From other ways, some justification is thinking that the two main judges of the book of that name are indeed Gideon. Samson. Samson is a wonderful character, cannot be denied, in spite of the tragedy in his life. I just want to go down the chapter with you tonight and learn what a beautiful lesson from the experience of that man. Having in mind his background principle, because the chapter deals more with that than with his birth and with his youth. We'll hear more about that perhaps in subsequent studies. I thought I saw six things that we might look at in the chapter. In verse 1, we have a discipline that was deserved. We read that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. In verses 2-7, I thought about a disclosure that is divine. To a remote place, away down in the south country, down in the land of Dan, the town of Zorah, to this unknown couple until then, the angel of the Lord appears with his wonderful name. A disclosure that is divine. A desire that is declared. The husband wasn't there when the angel came. When he heard the news, he appeals to the Lord, send the angel back at him. We'll look at that in a moment. The desire that is declared. When the angel came again, there was a departure that was delayed. Said Manoah, let us detain you until we've prepared a chest. So we'll prepare the Lord's house, coming to give to the Lord, in celebration of this wonderful news that has come with me. Departure is declared. And we think of the reaction of Manoah and his wife when the angel of the Lord did go up in the flame of the altar. What an experience. No wonder they fell on their faces to the ground. As they rose and looked around them, Manoah said, we'll die because we've seen God. We'll die because we've seen God. Had the woman said that, they may have understood. Had the man given the counsel, I might have understood. But it was the other way around him. It was the man who said it. And it was his wife who was accused of God to dispel his doubts. But he said, we should die. Then in the last two verses, we have the deliverer who is deliver. A short account of the birth of the early days of the man called Brandon. So first of all, let's look at the first of all, that is the devil. But the reason why? And the reason is that Israel is evil again in the sight of the Lord. That is through the preceding chapters. And note it. But this is the ninth time, that this statement is made or recorded. Thy wonder of the amazing patience of all his suffering God is people. 8 times previously, he had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And when we repented, the Lord recovered. Gave him another judge to lead him. And here on this ninth occasion, they're at it again. He had left them without an interest, without an indication of what would happen if they did evil. There are two cool chapters, or at least most of the chapters, that I'm thinking about. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 that tell how God will react to the actions of his people, particularly in departure. I say, he has not left them without witness as to what he would do, as to the judgment that would fall if they departed from him and they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. How wonderful is his long suffering. But if there is a reason, there is a result in it. For in their case, bad behavior led to bondage. And departure led to deliverance. And sin led to slavery. And we must learn to think of God as if we get away in heart from the Lord. There is a price to be paid. There is a penalty to be incurred. In spite of the long suffering of God, in spite of the patience of God, for he has left us in no doubt either. But we must keep in touch with him, or there will be serious repercussions. The result was that the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. 40 years. 40 months. The Lord used the Philistines often to get the start of his people, to bring them back to himself, so that they may repent and be restored and enjoy the blessing of God again. 40 years. Of course, we know that the figure 40 is the time of probation, the time of testing, the time of trial. This is another very illustrates that. He delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. 40 years. And there we are. What's happening? Is anything going on? We'll learn from the rest of the chapters just what is going on. The God against whom they have sinned. The God who has delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. Beginning to work toward their restoration. He's planning for the birth of the child, who in Matthew will, to use the word of this passage, begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. So we leave the discipline that is there. Think about the exposure that is divine. For while there was a time when Manoah did not realize who this person was, that didn't change the fact that he was the angel of the Lord. Interesting to know this. On the marriage day, for the woman herself, the sign of the fact that it's she to whom the angel of the Lord comes twice over. Why don't we look at some of the other experiences? It puts hard when the enemies that are coming child, the coming son, was made. And I could recommend it to my brother in Christ. Wake up until the time when Gabriel appeared to Mary, the visitor's parent, the mother of my Lord. You have to know that the woman David was. Yes. The angel of the Lord comes to this rather remote, outlandish place. For this unknown couple asks for Mary to bring this great news. And would you notice that there was an awareness on the part of the angel of the Lord of the circumstance of that woman, of the condition of that woman? How detailed it was. He knew what they meant. He knew they were living there as husband and wife. He knew that in that home there was no family. She was in the state of the woman's body. How intimate was his knowledge? But after all, he was an angel of the Lord. No wonder Peter said to the Lord Jesus, your name, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest all things. He is one who came to visit this humble home in Zora with this intimate knowledge of the problem that existed in that home. But he came with a view to resolving the problem, the larger problem in the nation, by bringing the news of the coming Son to the family. I was interested in Manoah's name. Take away the first two letters we left with the lovely name of Noah. Noah, of course, means rest, and Manoah still means rest, according to Dr. Young's concordance. Rest. For in spirit, here is a man who is resting in the Lord, in spite of what must have been to he and his dear wife the tremendous disappointment in the home. Manoah, resting in the Lord. And we'll see more of that as we get into the passage point. Because this man knew his Lord in a very intimate way. He knew the Lord in a way I would like to know. He trusted the Lord in the way I would like to be able to trust him. So I'm thinking at the moment, the meaning of his name just means rest. But as we say, the angel made his appearance, and he appeared to the woman. And sometimes in these circumstances, he appears to the man. As he did to Abraham, as he did to Zachariah, as he did to Joseph. And sometimes he appears to both. Sometimes he appears to the woman. This is the case where he appears to the woman to bring this wonderful news. There was a recognition of a state. We noted him. Then there was the revelation. He told her of the birth of a son. Now there's nothing really theory about this communication. Facts are stated. Facts that cannot be denied, facts that she'll hold on to, facts that her husband will grasp with both hands. Thou shalt bear the son. Must have been tremendous news to that lady. Must have been tremendous news to that woman. But after all those years, in spite of the tremendous pleasure and under the hand and tyranny of the Philistines, the Lord has got its blessing indeed. Although there are many words of encouragement to our hearts here, brothers and sisters, in a day when little or nothing seems to be happening, when the enemy seems to be on the ascendancy, when souls are not getting saved, when children are not being born of us, may it be that just round the corner, in a short while as the Lord be not come, we're going to see his hand again, if it would. There was a recognition of her condition. And as he announces the birth, he places several restrictions on her. about the non-participation of wine or strong drink. As he puts it the second time, shall not partake of anything that comes from within, and shall not eat anything that is unclean. So important is the arrival of this child going to be to them and to Israel, that right from the very beginning, from the announcement that they'll make, the lady has to live a very, very restricted life. Well, it must have been a great burden to that hand. But in our hand was the possibility of destroying the usefulness of this child that is to be born. Or drink wine, the strong drink, I've not been able to establish the difference between the two. I'm sure there is a difference. It might be that the wine is the common beverage of the land at that time, and the strong drink was that which was used on social occasions. I really couldn't say. But she's restricted in her diet. And he leaves her with that restriction. He says more to her. He said, the child shall be a matter. He'll have both three restrictions in his life. And the additional one of no razor upon his head. What he's really saying to the lady is, when he will say to her husband, give the child a good start. Prepare the child, even in infancy, for that which I have purposed for him. He shall begin to deliver Israel. Nothing more than that. Just begin to deliver Israel. So he reads there about the restriction and he speaks about the redemption. What will she do now? This is an amazing message to receive. But we will be there to witness it. Who's going to believe in what? She might have done two things. She might have hugged it to her breast and told her. On the other hand, she may have been out in the community and told everybody. I have rejoiced in the regard that she has for us. The regard that she has for us. She went and told her husband. The lines of communication of this home were open. There were no secrets between husband and wife. And she got a message from the Lord, she took it to her husband. I don't know how fast she could go. I don't know how difficult the journey was. Or how difficult it was for her to convey the message. But she went and told her husband. And in her communication, she made a wonderful remark concerning what our pastor Christabel calls a man of God. She said she had the reputation of an angel, the countenance of an angel. And she asked two words, very terrible. I pondered that for a while. And I wondered how she got that impression about an angel. That's what she said. So the important part of this stage of the message is that she shared the message with her husband. She told him all. In fact, she told him more than the angel told him. I wonder if you noticed that in the reading. The angel said he shall be a Nazarite from the womb. She said he shall be a Nazarite from the womb and call the day of his death. I have no doubt that's what she longed for. I have no doubt that in her mother heart, that was what she yearned for her boy. A whole lifetime. But it was not the angel. The angel of the Lord would know that. This was one of the very things on which Samson wrote this. The vineyards of sin not seen. I have a very strong fascination to you. I will not anticipate another ministry.
And you notice that she said more than the angel said. That brought home a lesson to me in regard to the quotation of the scripture. We've all got a favorite quotation. Let's be honest, friends. We've all got a favorite quotation. I wonder how accurate they are. And it caused me to think the things that I say repeatedly, you get back to the book and see just how close I was. Could I illustrate what I mean? I was preaching the gospel in Heaven Hall one day, many years ago, from Acts 13. Hear on unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And we go on to say, and by him all that we were justified. And that's true. That's all what the Bible says. Especially in the audience with the dear brother, we go on this movie. Maybe twice on the course of the Christian. And ask them after we read it, what are you trying to convey? This is the most important three words in the text. And by him. Thinking about the acronym of our communication. That's what it spoke to me. I leave it with you then. The disclosure that was divine. Now, minority act. Think about the design. What was this? I was really impressed with that. If a woman does that with me, so did my Noah. It says that Noah entreated the Lord. Manoah entreated the Lord. I said there was no disrespect in the fact that Noah took it from his wife and then entreated the Lord. None of that. The man wants to be absolutely certain. He wants a confirmation. He wants to be sure that they're embarking on the right path. And it says that Manoah entreated the Lord. I was interested to notice that the word means to entreat a banquet. It would seem as if he's speaking to the Lord and asking the Lord and continuing to ask the Lord. Manoah entreated the Lord. It showed me this, yes, God, how intimate this man was with the Lord. I made a mistake in the reading. I got a chance to correct it. I read, first of all, O Lord. And that's not what the passage says. It says, O my Lord. O my Lord. But just from that expression, and from the use of the word entreated abundantly, that Manoah really knew the Lord very well. It was perfectly natural for Manoah to go to the Lord with a matter like this. It was as if it was a native ear, his normal experience to take matters to the Lord. Or how happily we sing about taking it to the Lord in prayer. We have the Lord say about taking our load to the Lord and then bringing it away back when we come out of this thing. And the Lord entreated the Lord. Notice too the innocence, the purity of the man, the simplicity of the man. I'm impressed with the fact that he's only one thing he asks of the Lord. He was in the Lord's presence and he spreads it out before the Lord. Make no request for the man to return, but the man inquired him who to offer the child. And these were matter there. He taught me another lesson, it reminded me of a lesson that we ought to have learned long years ago to be specific in our prayers. So often we generalize. Especially in our personal prayers. My dear brothers and sisters, let us be specific in our prayers. I know that the Lord knows what we need, even before we ask him. And he wants to hear us express that And that's just what the Lord did. He took us into the presence of the Lord, and he made it known. Direct response to Job. It's just that the Lord heart of their heart. And that's it. Here is a man unknown till now to us from this passage of Scripture. He's never known that the Lord existed. And he has this ability to go to the presence of the Lord and call him my Lord. So Paul Philippians 4, my God is the power of your need. This led to dear Thomas in John chapter 20, my Lord and my God. Mary in the same chapter, they've taken away my Lord, see you and so on. But the Lord hearkened, the Lord hearkened. What was that verse you looked at in 1 John chapter 5? Ever recently? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And the Lord hearkened. What is the response? The man of mercy again. The man of God came again. And I was very happy to notice that he came to the woman when she was going to see. You see, well, she must have been awakened at this news. It didn't keep her from her normal duty. She's still industrious as ever. She's been getting on with the job, getting on with the... It's interesting to notice that on both occasions the angel of the Lord used this way to find her. He used this way to find her. And she wasn't embarrassed when he found her. She was out in the field. She was there. What would she do this time? Well, she won't let him speak until she has called her husband. I love the relationship of that husband and wife. God went, we can learn. When this opportunity occurred, I don't know whether she heard her husband pray that prayer. I don't know that she knew that he knew that request. But whenever the angel of the Lord came again, she went forward. And the two of them are there in the presence of the angel of the Lord. She recognized him as the man who had appeared the other day. She knew him to be the person who made the first communication. She called her husband one day. He heard what he had to say. And I've been impressed too with a simple faith of my Lord. As he comes and meet the man, as they spoke of, but he didn't yet know that he was an angel of the Lord. Said that, how about the man that appeared unto the woman and said, I am? What you notice is what? His total reliance on the word that the man spoke. He said, let thy word come to pass. Now, let my word push it away off of this house. What shall we do unto him? He doesn't find it difficult to accept of what the angel of the Lord has arranged to take place. For it will take place, you see that before we finish. It will take place. But it's the fact of this man in his simplicity. In his intimacy. The success of the simple statement of the angel of the Lord. He said, now let thy word be accomplished. Come to pass. You see, again, there's another word that we see just in a moment. How shall we do unto him? How cheerful they were. How cheerful he was. As he looked for further information, further instructions. From the angel of the Lord. He didn't get any more from already has gone. The angel of the Lord has the any more to say to Manoah than he said to his wife. In fact, they'll be insulting his wife. Because before Isaac said to him, in the Lord they said, he used it. All that I've said to the woman, just let her do exactly that. She's convinced. She is convinced. And so he asked the angel to tarry while he makes ready the altar. What a spiritual man he was. He hears the word through his wife from the angel. Takes the matter to the Lord, and the Lord pleased to send the man back again. He hears the second communication, which is just a confirmation of the first one. And his thoughts turn to sacrifice. Pure in the HP. What a spiritual man he was. He has a faith. Unknown apart from this passage of the to be the father of the great man. And what a background this boy had. What a home he was born in. What a privilege was his. What privileges were his. To have such spiritual folks as his parents. Beautiful in the extreme. And so, the Lord said, this way we come. We must have taken time to get a shelter. It's interesting in Genesis 18 as well, when the three visitors came to Abraham, and went out to Mr. Isaac. He said, sorry, why don't we prepare a ship? And we got a hole and he asked his wife to bake the cake. And he instructed the servant to prepare the cake. So that's what done in a few minutes. And the three visitors patiently waited, as did the angel of the Lord in this case, Pharaoh, Manoah, and his wife made the preparation for their offering. I'm impressed too with the refusal to eat. He says that, though thou didst say, I will not eat. And if you're offering an offering, you must offer it unto the Lord. You must offer it unto the Lord. So he's giving direction to the master. The man's willing, so willing to show his appreciation. He's needing a wee bit of guidance. The angel of the Lord will accord you. Sometimes you see our affections run away with us. Sometimes we need our affections to be controlled, to be directed, to be put in the right sequence, as it were. And this is what's happening to Baal Manoah. The zipper will offer, thou must offer unto the Lord. Indeed, the Lord didn't know it was an angel of the Lord. Then he comes to that wonderful question. It's quite dynamic. That when this comes to pass, he may do the honour. And again, there's no shadow of doubt in the man's mind. The man who could say, let thy word come to pass, is the man who has taken this on board. He believes it with all his heart, that when it comes to pass, we may do the honour. And what a wonderful answer. Why is it that thou shouldest ask my name, saying it is secret? Saying it is secret. And if you have a margin in your Bible, you see that the margin gives the word wonderful. Probably gives you the reference of Isaiah chapter 9. His name should be called Wonderful. But I had a dear mystery brother say one night, many, many years ago, he spoke about it. He says, why don't we combine both of them and say, seeing it is a wonderful secret. Seeing it is a wonderful secret. Why should any pleasure that we can from thinking about this wonderful secret. I was cross-offended by the fact that there are secrets about divine persons that we love about. and we saw them this time, this time. So there are unfoldings that have been made. This is speaking of us, like you told us on Saturday evening, in the mission meeting. But all that we know of the Father, we will learn from the Son. And all that we know of the Son, we will learn from the Son. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, says John chapter 1, he has declared sin. That's the answer that the Lord has. He is his secret. He makes it wonderful. He makes it a wonderful secret. I thought about this great last Sunday. My Lord prepared, thought about his preparation, he took the check. I thought about his presentations, he offered them. I thought about the participation, I thought about the angel doing wondrous rites. The name of the angel living up to his name, you see. His name is wonderful and he did wonderfully. Do all the live up to an angel. The angel lived up to his name. He passed it in the train of Jesus. Wonderful speed. And it says that Manoah and his wife looked on. Looked on. And I feel that it's all in the admiration. And I looked on with the question. And I looked on utter sympathy with this strange being, whom in the end they understood to be an angel of the Lord, who had brought this wonderful news to them. And the angel ascended, and Manoah did not tell him the faith. I would have meant that in my meditations I felt exactly like that. Taking my place beside Manoah and his wife in the presence of the angel of the Lord. And then it says that then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And it causes him to doubt. Causes that quite thought to flash across his mind, we've seen God will die. So again, that's a very interesting story. Just a look at the occasions when folks saw God in part and didn't die. You haven't done this text, you saw that again. Can feel that happening. Gideon has the same feeling after he was visited by the angel of the Lord. He's seen God, he will die. Well, I thought of the relationship again between this husband and wife. It's a man who says will die. The reason was that, well, we've seen him. The angel is, Gideon said, because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face. So the reassurance came to Gideon, peace be unto thee, thou shalt not die. Fear not, thou shalt not die. But the reassurance came to Manoah from his dear wife. While fear ruled his mind, fact ruled her mind. And she placed two very simple but very important facts before her husband, which reassured her. The first was this. The Lord will have received their sacrifices to the Jewish gods. The reception of the sacrifice was reason number one. And the reason number two was, he was not assured of peace. And if we're honest, brethren, how often have we been dependent on others or partners to reassure us in moments when we have doubts? And that's what Manoah's wife was able to do to her husband, who was so intimate with the Lord himself. And again, that moment then, there was the wavering, doubt, deceit. His wife came to his aid. And then very quickly, the last two verses speak about the deliverer who is three times lie on the surface of the country, good with us, and then we'll let them, and that is the beginning. Experience equals expectation. What God has promised, He performed. How shall bear a son, says the angel. All that time after this, she brought forth a son. I wonder what we're going to learn, dear fellowship, that what God says, He will do. When will we accept in total that God's promise is our gain? And amen. Then there is that comment about the Lord blessing us. I thought I saw a great parallel between this and the 50 chapters of the Gospel Bible. What is the baptism? Is your word like this? When the child grew and waxed strong each day, the Lord blessed us. For if it's the Lord Jesus in chapter 2, read this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And the Lord blessed us. And the Lord blessed us. What a beginning for us. And then there is the beginning when the Spirit began to move on him. You see, you only begin to do it. What was always promised? Begin to do it. And the Spirit was beginning. Beginning to move on him. Now I'll confess, before that happened, it happened just very well. It happened at home. It happened at Zora. And the first evidence of the Spirit in Samson was just very well. What a lesson for us to learn. Just. They didn't work. It's a little